You're listening to Graphic Novel Explorers Club Podcast, an audio book club. Thanks for checking out today's episode of Graphic Novel Explorers Club. I'm one of your hosts and the best, Francis, joined by...
Not the best, Dennis.
And...
Johnny, certainly the worst.
Today we are discussing my favorite book, The Legacy of Luther Strode, written by Justin Jordan and artwork by Trad Moore and Felipe Sabriero. I probably said that wrong. We hope you have already read today's title because all three of us have read the book. So beware, spoilers ahead. We would love for you to share your opinion and thoughts with us. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at GN Explorers Club. Leave a comment on Facebook or email us at gnexplorersclub@gmail.com. Graphic Novel Explorers Club is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever podcasts are available.
Yeah, Justin Jordan.
You ready to jump in?
We're coming to the end here, Justin.
That's what it says. So.
Well, to recap for those maybe who haven't heard, this is the culmination of the Luther Strode story, the third in the trilogy.
Yep.
So every Justin Jordan book for Luther Strode starts with this lovely introduction to kind of prepare the reader for what they're about to experience. And this starts as the end. This is the last Luther Strode, which makes me happy and sad at the same time. So I will give a quick recap, but I'm going to read this sentence from The End by Justin. What we learned was that what he desired wasn't what he should have wanted. And the more power he got, the more he was responsible for how he used it. It was a long and bloody road to get to a place where he understood that and got a handle on the idea that just because you want something doesn't mean you should. So where we first met Petra, no, Luther, sorry. Luther is, how could I forget his name? It's the title.
Kind of on the book.
Yeah.
So how we first met Luther is he was kind of some like scrawny high school kid, didn't really fit in. One night he saw an ad in like a book or a magazine for to become like strong and powerful. So he wrote into the ad and I think.
It's like the old Charles Atlas.
Right.
You know, like the
become buff in so many.
Yeah, like they show the panel of the buff guy walking by the nerd. He gets sand kicked in his face and then he comes back big and strong and beats the sand kicker up.
Right.
Yeah. So he does right into the program and we see him just blossom and bloom to the big, strong man he is today. But there's a lot of repercussions, especially in the first book. His best friend gets killed. His mother.
He kills his mom.
Yeah, by accident.
Right.
There's this other girl in the book, because there's always a girl, Petra, and it's someone who he has a crush on. So you kind of follow this journey in the first book. And what's the guy's name? He's one of the gatekeepers.
The librarian.
The librarian.
It's an origin story. It's your typical origin story for heroes.
There's the librarian, and he tells them, like, there's all these... You don't really understand it. You don't understand like what he's doing wrong but the librarian's trying to like bind him or any something.
Trying to make him awaken his powers and realize his potential.
Well, and I got the impression he's trying to make Luther leave his humanity behind.
Right.
That's right. Okay. Thank you. So we won't get too much into book two. There was a lot of violence and road chasing, and this is going to be important because Johnny mentioned this last season too. You see in book two, the artwork, Luther and Petra, they're drawn much more robustly, bigger, more like their muscle and their.
I would say the art becomes like more extreme.
Yes,
right.
Like, thank you.
And it's like texturalization of clothing and certainly Luther's like hair and muscles become extremely cartoonish.
It reminded me of like certain Japanese manga. It was just like super detailed about small things that normally get glossed over.
So where we left that book, basically there was a showdown at the mall and everybody is dead except for Luther and Petra.
Yeah, it turns out Jack the Ripper was one of these.
That's who it was.
Jack the Ripper was one of these super Saiyan type superhero human beings.
A lot of them are bound and chained. like and mummified.
It's never really explained why they choose to be bound.
And that will come up in this book. So that's a good reminder that there's people who have the same power and strength as Luther, but for some reason they've been chained to protect the earth. Or they're bound and they can't.
It's that biker escape. Guy, right? What was his name?
Oh, I forget. The armor.
The bounder? Because it was all like book stuff.
Oh, that's right. There was, yeah.
The binder.
Oh, the binder. Then.
Yeah.
So, book three. In case this is your first time listening to, we have a lot of mixed feelings about Luther Strobe.
We have a lot of respect and a lot of, I don't know what the right term would be.
We respect the horribleness of this series.
I think we respect the work. Like, the work in, the fact that this guy... who there are a million people out there that want to be comic book writers and artists and get paid to do their craft. And this guy has pulled it off.
Yes.
And
thank you.
Yeah.
I think we have all grown to respect Justin Jordan a lot.
Oh, and I do want to say this too. And then we'll jump into book three. He does say from Justin, I just want to thank you on behalf of me and Trad and Felipe and Phonographits. I said that wrong for being here with us for this whole ride. I hope you guys enjoyed it all. And I hope we see you again. You won't, but into book three. So when you first open it, and this is why we talked about the art, there's a picture of Luther Strobe now, book three, and he's like a Greek god. He's just like, who's that guy? Fabio. He's got the long blonde hair. He is like in a like white cloth, and you can see like all of his veins in his hand. He's very muscular. He looks nothing like the guy from book one or two.
No, not at all.
He's really. So then you. And then it goes into, there's a flashback to long ago. There's just some bloody guy sitting on a hill and there's this whole army coming for him to kill him. And he destroys the whole army. Essentially.
Yeah. This is like the Sumerian days or, you know, it's like prehistory almost.
Right.
So then he goes back and he goes back to like his lair, his tent. And there's this woman there, you know, he goes to go see his woman and she like can see into the future, maybe. Well, I'll get into who they are in a second.
Yeah, he's obviously they both have this ability that Luther has where they can perceive time and thought and energy.
Possibilities.
Yeah, like endless. They can see all the endless possibilities. I thought it was a really cool drawing how she's basically going to entice him into having sex with her, and the drawing that they did of like. It's like somewhat a vaginal. Yeah, it's like a vaginal drawing surrounding her. It was kind of neat.
It is. And I should say this guy, he's very Lutherish with very, very long, dark hair. And this woman's seducing him. And then the next page, you see the guy screaming in agony and saying Delilah. And he's.
Well, he's clearly Samson.
Yeah. So I was. Yes. So but you don't know that yet.
Like, right.
So he's saying Delilah. And then it's a. Shot of like him tied up and all of his hair is gone. Yeah. And that's when you figure out, yeah, it's Samson and Delilah. Mm-hmm. And okay, and then it gets into present day. No, 5 years ago.
It picks up the beginning of the book picks up immediately after the mall scene where all these people have been killed and he's been arrested and he basically breaks him and Petra out of the police cars and then it jumps to 5 years later.
Where he doesn't end up, I mean, he's covered in blood, but he doesn't end up killing any of the cops, if I remember correctly.
No.
So it picks up immediately after the previous book, and then it jumps. It's like two jump times.
Yeah. So, yeah, but you're right. So this is what became unclear to me. So now we're back in present day, and Luther and Petra. And Petra, can I just talk about her for a second?
Yeah, go for
it. She looks so ugly in this book, and she was so pretty. And she's really, this is jumping ahead, but she is just such a caricature of herself now. Mm-hmm. And I just... But
well, so, I think it's showing her extremism. It's almost like Terminator 2 where they show, what's the mom's name? I forget her name. I want to say Linda Carter.
Right. Linda Hamilton.
Linda Hamilton character. Now, in the first movie, she's more feminine. And then in the second movie, she's more masculine. And the Terminator has become more of the nurturer and caretaker. Like the roles reversed. And I feel like that's her almost as she has taken their quote unquote mission to such an extreme that she's very harsh looking now.
I agree that she's the Terminator 1 and 2 analogy, but my problem with it, and I agree with Francis on this, is that her personality, like, she seemed more three-dimensional in the first book. And in this one, it's almost like she's Harlequin. Like, she delights in chaos and destruction. And it's like, oh, come on, let me use a grenade, or, you know, let's shoot this up.
No PTSD from, like, all the trauma they've experienced.
And it's almost she delights in the violence. And the character we kind of knew from the first book seems gone.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, that's, and you get that as soon as you get into the present day. So they're in, like, a rainforest. They're isolated. She's shooting CDs. But it's a close up of her, and she reminds me of Tank Girl, tatted up with the gun. Oh yeah,
totally.
Just super excited to be shooting up, and just saying every other word is motherfucker, excuse my language. And you see Luther behind her, and he's just this huge man, and she's just so tiny. And
yeah, he's lost all physical human appearance. He can't even wear regular clothes. He's just draped in. He's like, he probably sends her over to J. Michael's to pick up some just like some cloth. And then he just drapes it.
But you do get the sense now that whereas the first two books, like, he was this powerhouse of violence, it's almost like he's transcended himself. And he's like
a Buddhist boyer.
Oh, yeah. He's totally walked the kung fu walk. And he's...
he picked the pot up with both hands.
Yeah, totally. Exactly.
So they're obviously training for something. They're in the woods. They're isolated. And he shows her a newspaper because he went to the city to get one. It says the headline is Blood on the Dance Floor. And he's like, it's time. It's them. We need to go. And she's all excited. Like, yeah, we're going to go to war. And then, do you want to talk about these two guys? Like,
I was really confused.
These two characters that I believe are siblings.
Yeah, you find that out a little bit later.
Yeah, and they're... They're dressed
like
sort of
Nazis.
Yeah, like Nazis.
But one of them is Nelson-ish. Like a woman of color.
Yeah. And they killed some people somewhere.
Yeah.
And then Luther is trying to... In this book, Luther's mission now has changed to, I'm trying to rally as many of my fellow
types of
superhumans. Right. To take on the main guy.
Right.
This is like a man on a mission book. And these two, he's trying to coerce, I don't want to say coerce, but he's trying to talk them on into joining his mission.
Open their eyes, kind of like.
They don't. A big fight breaks out and they wind up dying.
And I think Johnny kind of summed up the whole crux of the series is some people, they killed some people somewhere. Like, that's basically.
Well, these characters are never shown before, and you don't really. This is my second or third time reading this book. And it's only on this most recent reading where I realized, they're not introduced before. There's no introduction to them prior to this book. And they really don't have any significance other than to show a fight scene.
Yeah.
And that he's trying to recruit people. And it ends like in a Matrix fight on the freeway where they die.
I mean,
and
it's a really...
they meet... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, it's a really beautiful fight scene. I think it's elaborate.
Yeah, it's cool choreographed. Like, it would make a really awesome storyboard for a movie. But... I don't know if it really did anything to move the story along.
So at the end of the fight scene, they meet this mysterious woman and she's like, let's see if you can do better. And she has very short pixie hair, and that's important. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you why later.
And a mole.
She does have a mole. Yeah, mole on her eye. Chin.
Mole. Mole, mole.
And now, like...
Way to bring a 20-year-old movie joke back, Dennis.
Yeah, baby. Sorry.
I love how you guys make each other laugh.
Somebody has to make one of us laugh. Yeah.
So it flashes to they're on a plane. They're incognito. This mysterious woman is taking them to go meet someone called the gardener. And you're not really sure why, but he can help them possibly. And so
in Siberia, I believe.
Yeah. And it's just covered in snow. And as they're walking, Luther's like, oh, here, this is the place. And they kind of move the snow. And the whole path is paved in human skulls. Well, we think they're human. They're just skulls.
It's pretty cool. It could be other primate skulls. Yeah. But the way he does it, it's almost like the Hulk clap. Only he does it with his foot, where he could just clear a path with just smashing his hands together.
Totally.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
And this mystery woman is doing the Hamlet thing with holding the skull up.
Now, at this point, did it seem to you when we were introduced to her, did it seem like they had interactions with her before? I was very confused.
No, I just, it's one of those things where like, is she a good guy or is she a bad guy?
So I'm just going to trust this lady. Yeah. This is what they did. Okay.
It's jumping ahead a little bit. It is revealed that they have been, Luther and Petra have been planning for
right
both eventualities, if she's good or if she's bad.
Right.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. So, okay.
I thought this scene in the snow was beautifully drawn.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of ornate drawing in this. It must have taken a long time.
So I'm just going to call it this scene. And okay, it's beautifully drawn. It looks like a vagina.
Well, yeah.
This is a snow vagina.
Oh, wow. You're right.
It's just like, this is all about the vulva.
Huh.
The colors behind the mysterious woman and Petra, they're the vulva pink. Like,
wow.
Justin was either going through a dry spell or really getting on when he was writing this book. Because it's just vagina everywhere.
So is Luther the clit? I can't.
No. Trad Moore, because he was drawing this.
Oh, you're right.
Trad
okay.
Trad Moore was the one
Thank
that
you
was
for clarifying.
Going through a dry spell.
But so they kind of go through this like deep, dark forest, and then they meet this like huge
Russian man who's dressed in like bear pelts and skulls.
Yeah.
And
he reminded me this drawing
Santa Claus.
Bear with me. No. In the labyrinth, they're trying to distract her from finding Toby, mm-hmm. and they like erase her memory.
You
and there's
really
this,
know that movie yeah. well.
And there's this little old lady with like all this stuff on her, and uh-huh. like, oh, here you're looking for your teddy bear. Oh, here you're looking for your box. This is what this looks like. It looks like the little old lady with a bunch of crap trying mm-hmm. to distract. Yeah. So,
well, he lives in the woods by himself. He's got to entertain himself somehow.
That's true. So Luther goes to talk to him, and like the first thing Luther always says now is, "I don't want to fight." Right. Doesn't have to be this way. That's all he says, okay, in this whole book. And so the gardener responds, but it's like in a foreign language. And we never know what that language is. And
it's Russian.
Is it Russian? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't translate this. Did anybody else like
no,
try to figure?
No, it's too, I don't know the Russian alphabet like to write it out. So I had no clue. But it's inferred that he's telling him basically to go away. Don't bother me.
So there was another book that we had read. I'm off tracking a little bit. I think it was last season where they used some sort of like foreign language.
Paper Girls.
That's what it was. But you could make out what right. they were saying. Okay. Yeah. So I was trying to figure out like if that was like that.
And that one had the symbols
yeah.
and everything
that's
like that.
That's what it was. Yeah. So just it could have been done a little bit better. That's all I'm saying. So they get into like this really big fight. They start fighting and they all just start. If you guys want to talk about the fight scene, you can.
Well, it turns out this mystery woman is also. Well, we'll just say who she is. She's Delilah. Yeah. Delilah had the mole on her face. This lady right. has the mole too. She is also capable of the same things that Luther is. Although it's funny that
she did have the mole.
It's funny. It's almost like Hulk and She-Hulk, how mm-hmm. She-Hulk still retains her femininity,
mm-hmm.
Whereas the Hulk is just like this giant mound of muscles. The same thing with Luther and her. Luther is a giant mound of muscles, but she's still a tiny, petite little thing. I don't know. It's one of the things to sidetrack here. I liked about Shrek is that when Fiona became a troll or whatever the hell right. Shrek is, she lost her human femininity. She mm-hmm. became bulbous and round and,
right.
and thick like Shrek.
Mm-hmm.
And she was beautiful to Shrek's eyes. Maybe not our eyes anymore, but she was right. beautiful. It's one of those things where like you could tell these are designed and drawn by men because
right.
she still is sexy,
right.
you know, in our eyes. She's not a giant mound of muscles like the rest of the guys are.
So- Although to be fair, the sister that they fought, the neo-Nazi one, she was pretty bulked
up. Yeah, she was thicker, but
I was going to say, this later on because there's an outfit she wears, but I'll say it now. One thing that I liked about the first one, even though the characters are kind of exaggerated, this one is really more much about like the boobs, like her. Mm-hmm. She wears like very extremely low cut. It's all about seduction, but that plays a role in her character.
Yeah, that's who her character is. Yeah.
So it's literally, you guys, it's like 10 pages of just this fight scene. And there's like some talking.
And then it ends with the guy dying.
Yeah. They kill the guy. But he did answer the question that they wanted. So now they're going to Hong Kong. We don't know why they're going to Hong Kong, but they're going to Hong Kong.
They're on the mission to find the main bad guy.
Right.
He would be Dracula.
This felt very Kill Bill. Like, you know, I got to go through.
I'm going to contradict myself. There are other characters with these abilities that are not massive, like
yeah.
So I apologize, Justin Jordan. I apologize.
And well, and then Trad. We also find out a little more of her ability, which is unique to her, which is her whatever hypnotism.
She can seduce. She's like a siren.
Yeah, almost, kind of thing.
She can seduce men into doing her bidding.
Exactly. So
this section, it goes to a new section. And I'm just going to say the coloring here is very different than anything we've seen. It's very purple. The whole section is purple.
I got the impression because they were in Hong Kong, it's got all, you know, neon lights. So many that neon lights. Sense. That's what the impression I got. It was colors
of neo-noir.
The studio's falling apart. Yeah, around literally.
Oh. And I did think that was an interesting choice, though. Like, some attention to detail, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you see, like, these girls are about to be sold into, like, a sex slavery type situation. Or
like, literally girls, I think.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like, little girls. And this random, like, cowboy. Like,
yeah, that's like the best way to describe
Clint Eastwood.
Him.
Modern day Clint Eastwood kind of comes and saves them.
He's like a Rastafarian
them.
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, like Good and the Bad Ugly era.
But crossed with Bob Marley.
Yes. And a little bit of what's Revolver Ocelot. For those Metal Gear Solid nerds.
There's a little Metal Gear in here.
And now, like, and because it's, there's like a showdown right away. Like, after he kills those guys, Luther Strobe's there and they start kind of fighting. And Petra and Delilah are kind of his backup now. And there's just a lot of fighting.
Well, and he's an expert marksman. This guy, he's dressed, as we were saying, like a Clint Eastwood character from a spaghetti Western. And he's got six shooters or revolvers. And he's just... yeah, it's Revolver Ocelot, where he can just shoot off at any angle and bank it. And
what was that Angelina Jolie film that was based on a couple?
Bullet?
Wanted.
Oh, Wanted, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Remember? So he's curving bullets and ricocheting them.
Patriot tries to shoot him with a sniper rifle from like several blocks away, and he shoots with his revolver, shoots
the bullet.
Through her eyepiece. Yeah, the bullet and then the eyepiece.
I really like the artwork in this section, I'll have to admit.
I did like it too.
He like mathematically breaks the bullet up.
No, I loved how it was choreographed. It did feel, I kind of felt like they were like trying to make a backdoor spinoff.
I thought so too. Like maybe they were going to introduce this character.
Okay, so I'm curious about that too, because this is where like I'm following, but then all of a sudden, like it's just him and keep saying Petra. I feel like it's a boy's name. Sorry. Him and Luther, the cowboy and Luther. And he says to him, he's like, so you're the new binder. You can tell your master I've had all my fill of chains. And it kind of is like a flashback scene. You can see who this cowboy was years ago. And he's literally handcuffed in chains. Mm-hmm. So who is the binder? And
I think the binder was that biker guy that got killed.
That's okay. So
who released Jack the Ripper from book two.
I kind of got that too. Like maybe they could kind of expand based on this character to see like what, which would make sense.
Like how did
backstory
he was obviously a slave at one point. Mm-hmm. Like how did he get? I'd be interested in seeing more of the character.
And then plus, unlike the neo-Nazi twins, he's actually using his powers for good. So he's looks like a vigilante kind of type mm-hmm. character. And he's trying to rescue people. He's not trying to. Well, and that's the interesting thing, right, is he doesn't have the brute strength that some of the other ones have. His thing is like hyper accuracy and agility.
That's a good point. And I'm kind of skimming through to see. I don't remember if he dies or not.
No, he doesn't. Oh, okay, so Luther tries to convince him to help him take on the main bad guy. And he's basically there's a chase scene and a shootout. And at the end of it,
he gives them the information they need, which is where
his lair is.
His lair is. But then he basically does one last trick shot and then basically escapes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, and Luther gets shot in his knees a bunch. And I don't know. It was interesting.
He says, yeah, he told me where he can find him. So, I mean, I think every scene is just a shootout and a car chase.
No,
so,
this
or,
is.
Or a fight.
This book really leans heavy into like Japanese manga, like JoJo Bizarre Adventure, Dragon Ball Z. It's like boss fight, but I felt like I was in a video game. Like
it was like that old Nintendo Kung Fu game where every level's a fight.
Totally.
Right. I used to love that sound effect. I still do. Yeah.
So it jumps to the next scene, and the cover art here is Delilah, and her eye is like there's like blood in her eye. It's red. So maybe that's like a hint that she's not the good guy. And then
that's the thing. Whenever they use their power, their eyes turn like red black.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So that's her seduction power. I'm assuming.
So it's them driving through the desert, and it's just, It's she is so terrible.
Petra is full tank girl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
And this is where, like, she's really so strayed from her original character.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's just a caricature. She's like, yeah, let's go blow up people. Let's go. And I remember, I think it was book two, there was a scene, like, with the druggies and stuff, and she was really distraught about right. that. And now, yeah, she's like, woohoo. Like, you're, yeah, it's,
yeah, she's lost all sort of sensitivity to murdering people.
And I would have bought into it if there had been at least one page explaining, like, maybe off scene, like, she does this to mask her PTSD or,
oh,
or,
yeah,
or something like good. That.
Yeah. Showing her, like, right. like Tom Hanks in Saving Private Ryan.
Right.
When he goes after that, where they storm that bunker and he mm-hmm. goes and hides from the rest of the his men and
right.
he's sitting there crying and shaking.
Right.
Something like that yeah. where it's just a facade.
You know, The Preacher did that really well. The backstory with a lot of the characters mm-hmm. and The Preacher's girlfriend. I can't remember her name now. But yeah, there's just nothing here. It's Tula. Just... That's right.
You played you. Her part.
I did. I know. So they're going through the desert and that's where it kind of comes out. Okay. It comes out that they know that Delilah is bad and they're trying to kill her right now. Am I getting that right?
No. Yeah. They know that they basically all these people they've been trying to get information from. It seems like she's like, oh, we can go here for information. But really she wants them to take them out.
Either side with her boss or kill them.
Right.
Which is been happening.
So they try to kill Delilah. And of course that doesn't work. And there's another shootout scene, but oh, this is actually good. Okay. Well, it's not good, but
you learn like, Delilah's yeah, backstory.
You get a backstory yeah. on her and it's actually pretty sad. Like basically her, this is like really, really biblical olden times, mm-hmm. Samson and Delilah days. And it looks like her father is like forcing her into marriage and she's a very young girl because she's so pretty. Like that's her only worth. And so, and back then, like, I know you had like dowries and stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's what they talk about. Like she's got so much value. You.
Right.
Yeah. And she gets kind of married off to this really gross, old, flabby man. And she's very, you know, scared. But what she does, instead of like giving in, she ends up killing him. But the problem is, which is still very true in modern day, people don't see this little girl that was like forced into something, defending mm-hmm. herself. They see it as she murdered the town hero. He's so right. well respected. And how dare you? Like, that's your job as a woman. She kind of finds this guy who takes.
Oh, he finds her.
Oh, yeah. He finds her. Thank you. And he kind of.
Yeah, she's yeah. about to be killed. She's surrounded by like all the men in the town. And this guy brutally murders oh, you're all
right.
of them.
Yeah.
Right.
And so she studies from him and she learns from him. And she kind of, it's kind of like the intro Luther scene where she's like meditating and doing mm-hmm. all the exercises.
I was a little confused because, and slightly jumping ahead, but mainly on this page, I wasn't sure if they had become lovers or not, if she had fallen in love. Because the yeah. scene where he's rescued her, his hands all bloody and he kind of touches her face, it almost seemed really intimate.
Oh, I got the impression they eventually become lovers.
So I was under the impression, too, in the same section. Like, it shows kind of the flashback of Samson and Delilah. It's where you figured out she is Delilah. Mm-hmm. I think, or maybe it's not here, but it's later on in the book. I think she actually loved him. But she yeah. had to kill him as part of it. Because there was something. Let me see if I'm making it up.
Well, while you're looking for that, I thought it was really cool where they showed that, like, Joan of Arc was one of these right. people. Like, you find out.
She had basically been the inspiration, though. What, it's not siren. What's that word that?
Oh, muse.
Muse. She had been the muse for these people.
And then later was in the band Muse.
Yeah. But the problem is that. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, that was a dumb joke.
You're not even a dad, man.
I have two dogs and a cat.
But when they basically didn't see the proper way to go, she basically turned yeah, against them. Like
you will come to find out, we're jumping ahead here again, that the main person behind all this is Cain.
Right.
From Cain and Abel. And
oh, no, so here, sorry. There's another flashback. I'm jumping ahead. But like it does show her like remembering her kissing Samson. And it shows like happier times in her childhood, like before she was sold off. Mm-hmm. And that's what made me think like she actually really did love him. But mm-hmm. because she's answering to this higher authority, she's going to kill him. Which is very biblical.
Right. Yeah. For sure. And so, yeah, I wasn't sure who there. I think there was a Greek guy. Yeah, I wasn't sure which story
yeah,
that was.
Who this is.
But it looked yeah. like he ended up killing his
family. Is that Cleopatra and whoever? Yeah. And then it goes back somehow like the Liberian. oh, this is Joan of Arc. I didn't get that.
Right.
Okay. I don't get a lot of this stuff. And there's like the Liberian. And so now it's back to modern day. The flashback is they're in the desert and she escapes and they follow her and they come across to the.
Well, so she could have probably tried to kill Petra, like for sure. She had her around the throat, but I think Luther is getting to her. Like, look, there's another way we can take on, you know, this guy.
Yeah, we don't have to just be merciless killers and, you know, and separate our humanity from who we are.
Right. So she tosses Petra off and then takes off in the Jeep.
So they find the lair, I guess, or the secret building. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. It reminded me of Jafar's.
Oh, yeah.
Thing from totally. Aladdin in the sand.
Oh, yeah. I could see that. And so he opens it and there's like these four people, like with their spears ready to.
Well, one is her.
Is that her? Right
yeah,
there?
That's okay, her.
I wasn't sure.
The other guy's clearly like some old samurai guy. Because one of her inspirations, her muse periods was with like some samurai guy.
Yeah, so like that Udon, the Udo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a Amazonian warrior, an African warrior, and then a samurai.
Amazonian, general. That's what I was trying to figure out who that.
I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's no, what it he kind is. Of vaguely. Yeah, no, you're right.
He looks like an Aztec, Amazon kind of.
And the next page, it's to one of the guys who are binded and. Doesn't say who yet. It's just he's binded. And so, you know, he's as powerful, if not more powerful than Luther, because mm-hmm. he's one of the binded people. And he does say, once again, it doesn't have to be this way.
Yeah.
We don't have to fight. Let's have some tea.
You know, that would have been awesome if he like pulled around and he had like a little tea cozy.
Wouldn't surprise me, actually.
Some Ladyfinger sandwiches.
I will have to say, you know, Francis, you're making fun of it, but I did get kind of tired of his kung fu routine. Like, I am here for peace.
Yeah.
You know?
And here's the thing, too, which is what I don't get. He's always been about peace. Like, in the very first book, he was trying to use his powers to prevent evil from happening, too. Like,
no, but he was using violence. Like, he's really like.
Yeah, like he murdered a room full of. Drug
that's
dealers.
True.
I mean, okay. They stuck their arm down their throat.
Yeah.
That's right.
So he was doing it for good.
But in a very violent way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now he's just like, no, we don't have to even do the violence.
So they start like.
I mean, we do to move the story along.
Yeah. So we just have to wear these cool robes and clothing.
Two of the guys go after him. Big, big fight. Spears. Then the old guy like jumps in.
Super matrixy.
Yeah. And there's even like somersaults in the air. They tell him like he's a fool, he's stupid. If you guys want to take over from here, like it's just
an elaborate fight, and then basically Delilah So
Delilah, like he's down, Luther's mm-hmm. down and out. And this is the thing that I jumped to. She could literally just kill him right now. And he kind of says, like, it can be different. And that's when she flashes back to, like, happier times in her childhood. And one of those flashbacks is her kissing
Samson. Like, being in love.
Yeah.
Actual, like genuine like. Being in love.
And during the fight, you can see that the Aztec and African warrior are just full on, like, let's kill this guy. The Japanese samurai is kind of waiting. And you can get a sense of an honor code. And, like, he doesn't want to.
Yeah, the Bushido.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then here comes the what you're just saying.
So this fight continues guy. And one of the, like they wind up punching Luther through like the door that they came through, which is this giant stone mm-hmm. monolith door. Petra has a Gatling gun like you would attach to a helicopter. One of these guys comes through the wall to try and get her and she just liquefies him with this machine
which
gun.
Which is an amazingly drawn scene. Like when she liquefies him into little bits of red, I was like, wow, this is really well drawn.
Yeah. And so they keep fighting. Yeah. And then finally the old samurai guy that's when you find out that there's Cain is here.
Yeah. Cain's
the one being bounded. And he's like, if I have to, I will kill him and I will kill you. But he's like, I think that there's a different way. And this is where I got like more lost again. I'll let you guys take over.
So the samurai warrior goes down to fight Cain and dies right away.
Well, yeah. So he ends up killing the African warrior and then. It looks like he's going to face off with Luther and then whatever Luther's stupid, peaceful words like touch his soul. And so there's another way like a 2 minute speech is like going to change your entire
centuries of being.
Yeah.
Who you are.
And then so he's like, OK, so I'm going to basically distract Cain while you, I guess, figure out a plan.
While you go Super Saiyan.
Right. And so he does like some super like. Samurai showdown stuff where he's like launching through the air and his swords are like whisking around, and all of a sudden Kane basically slices his head off
with his hand. Yeah. And then he throws the head at them. Kane and Luther fight.
It turns out that Kane wasn't really bound. I mean, he was bound, but he could have gotten out anytime.
He wanted himself bound, but he never said like why. Like I
know, since we're at the conclusion of the story almost, I will say that the problem I've always had from book one up through now is there always seems to be this mythical lore that never really gets explained.
Yeah, or fully fleshed out.
Right. I mean, there's always this been, we were introduced with the bound chain people in the first volume. They spit a tooth out and kill a guy. And you're like, oh, man, what's going on here? And secret society. But it's always this mythical thing. And it felt like playing a video game. Because, you know, when they do the cutscene in Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
And they're like espousing their beliefs. And it's like, God, you really, this, you're full of yourself.
Well, and they never, for being a secret society, at the end, they just wind up doing whatever the fuck they want.
Right.
And you don't see like the machinations of like their society. Do they do they rig elections? Do they secretly control all political, you know, like presidents and
I don't even see any other
power makers or they're just super strong people that are bound for some reason.
Yeah.
And how did Delilah like how did she get to be where she like lives for thousands of years? Because she started as like a human. Did this guy give her that power?
Yeah, she learns through him. Like they montage it basically where she starts to gain abilities by living with him.
And so apparently, yeah, when you reach his higher plane, so hypothetically Luther Strode would be able to live a long time as well just by doing whatever this process is. But you're right. You have the librarian who's recruiting people, I guess. The binder who actually ties people up who are out of control, I guess, and sometimes releases them and then has to re-bind them.
And you know what would have been interesting too? Sorry to get like how his dad, Luther's dad,
right?
In the first book, it's implied somehow that
he was already
somewhat on the path to being one of these people. It would have been interesting to see like Kane saying, you know, your dad tried to do this too and he failed, or
something. Tie back to that. It's just like loose ends. And then the thing is that I'm honestly surprised. So the dad just ends up becoming a deadbeat dad, you know, drinking on the couch. Remember we talked about because he didn't want to use his powers from what I was perceived.
He was starting to like abuse his family.
Right. But the thing is like,
didn't he go to jail because his mom was like on the run? That's
Like they never explain like, well, why didn't this secret society like try to like kill him? Yeah. Like straight up. It's just like, so you're just going to let him just be a drunk?
So getting back to the story.
Right.
Luther winds up, Luther and Kane are horribly injuring each other. Luther winds up killing Kane in much the same way that Kane killed his brother by smashing his head. Right? Is that how it goes?
Oh yeah, with a big brick or something.
The thing is, Kane. Well, one, I'm honestly surprised Kane didn't win because he's the guy who started everything. So it's implied, I guess, Luther has transcended him, which I think is a bunch of bullshit.
They did say too a few right before the fight scene, like. Like Luther's like, I can't kill you, but we can.
Right.
Like,
and so they end up teaming up. So Delilah uses a little bit of her powers to kind of distract him. Petra tries to shoot him.
At one point, he opens up the Matrix of Power and becomes the leader of the Autobots.
And then Petra's like, you got the touch.
And then Hot Rod shows up and says, if you're going to ride Danny, ride in style. And I always thought that was the coolest line when I was.
I like that they played Dare to be Stupid.
So something else I didn't get about the scene, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong.
You know we will.
Yeah. In the second book, Luther got like really, really damaged, but he self-heals.
Right.
If Kane's face got smashed, wouldn't Kane just self-heal?
Much like zombies, I think that's the key. If you remember, the librarian also got messed up in the first book.
Yeah, he got his neck snapped.
But it wasn't until I think you got the actual head part.
Like he tore his spine out.
Yeah, okay. That you actually,
that's like, how you kill them. It. But what Luther says is they have to go and show everybody that there's a better way.
Because there's still other people out there with those powers. And I assume there's still people bound. Like they don't talk about the other people who are like still.
I don't think there are. I don't know. It was never really made clear if there's more people down in their funky dungeon.
So this is the biggest issue. I have many with the series. Or am I jumping too far ahead?
No, go for it. I think we're wrapping up here.
Yeah.
I remember when we got the first book, I was actually excited because I thought the premise was very interesting. You see superheroes like as normal people and they get their power mm-hmm. and like all the positive things. And what Justin said in his intro is trying to like, what happens when you get all the power and right. it actually like isn't good. And he's like, he has this responsibility now. I don't think this series really challenged that or showed the answer to that. I don't think that's what it was about at all. It's just this guy who got superpowers and had all these horrible ramifications. And to your guys's point, we never get enough of a backstory. Like I thought this was going to show the backstory, like, oh, this is how they came to be or how mm-hmm. they got binded. And it didn't. And after the second book, like just how gory those fight scenes were, like this just became like cartoonish to me. Like, and it wasn't as bad as the second book,
No. But
it just, in the first series, I cared a little bit about the characters. There was enough, like you kind of want to know what happened.
There were some characters that were not, didn't have any abilities that were put in vulnerable situations and danger. And you cared about, like, I'd say the most heroic character in this whole entire series is Luther's best friend.
Because he
knew he was going to, he had no way to like defeat this guy. And he still stepped up.
And he, you know, even if the guy was a normal human being bully, he probably would have lost. I mean, the guy was out of shape, everything. But yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the second book should have been more of a story involving like how this society came to be. Mm-hmm. And the second book almost is not, it doesn't do anything to move the story along. It just,
not quite.
It just shows you get a little bit of Petra, like her and Luther are now on opposite ends and they hate each other or something like that. But really it's just a ploy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you meet the Binder and then that's it.
And Jack the Ripper fight. Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't really do anything to like build this world. You don't get any sense of like why they're doing this or why they oppose Luther other than they're powerful. Like you don't really get, it's not a really fleshed out bad guy. He's just super strong and evil.
And that was my chief complaint. And unfortunately it came to be was for the first book was that they're introducing these mysteries. And I don't like the idea of just it's mysterious, but if you stick with it, we'll explain it. And in the end, they didn't. It's just like they tried to be lost. They tried to have this veil of mystery just by not giving you information.
Or threads that you could.
Yeah.
Like the first Star Wars movie, mm-hmm. A New Hope. Like there was these mm-hmm. threads of like, well, who are these people? Why? Who are they talking about? What's going on? I don't know. It just wasn't.
Well, as a Catholic, the end here went biblical and you really have to know that story for mm-hmm. this to kind of make sense or make the connections. And it didn't start off that way. Mm-hmm. So I felt like it was really such a detour from what it started as. Like it didn't fit for me personally.
Mm. Some of that was okay. Like, I get, you know, I could see how they would tie things into biblical sense or like Greek mythology, because a lot of crazy shit happened in those things. And you're like, oh, that makes sense. They were superhumans that did these things like that. I can see being used as a story.
But it would have been nice to have that earlier.
Yeah,
I feel like the second book should have been more world building. Yeah. Like, who were these people and how did they tie into what's going on?
Right.
Here's another problem with book three. And maybe it's just me. I really wanted to read more about Samson and Delilah. Like, I wanted to go back to that story. Right. Like, I could care less about Luther Strobe right now, even more so.
There were bits of inspiration, like the Samson and Delilah, like the gunfighter. But yeah, once again, it never fully felt fleshed out.
Yeah.
And I felt it was kind of full of itself. I feel that way, honestly, about even like Metal Gear Solid. Like I said, like when they start ranting, if you've never played the game, there's cutscenes that can last like 13 minutes and they just pontificate and espouse all these beliefs. And it feels like you're in a philosophy class. And it's like, God, you know, you're just really full of yourself. And I felt like that was how this was. It's like these people felt so important. And it felt like that way in book one, where they had this, no, we're really important. You know, this is a big deal because I'm saying it's a big deal. And it never pays off because you don't feel that. You don't feel like they've given you enough. Like Johnny said, where it's like, oh, it's not just that we're super strong and we can punch people. And look, Jack the Ripper was really one of us. But like we had plans to manipulate the world and shape things. I still don't know what Kane's ultimate end goal was. Like, one of these guys going to be the president? Were you like rigging elections? Were you somehow?
Or are they going to rise up and kill every or like,
right, take over? Yeah.
How are you shaping society? I don't see anything where you're like kind of trying to do something where you're changing anything beyond like releasing someone and killing some people.
Why did they choose to be bound?
Right.
Like why?
I mean, if you watch like, I don't know, Infinity War, Marvel's Infinity War movie, Thanos' whole plan is because, well, there's overpopulation, there's limited resources. At least you can get, okay, I can grasp what his motives are here.
Oh my God, Thanos is a Democrat.
He's totally socialist.
He's a socialist.
This is the future Democrats want.
Yeah. Thanos. Republicans want Voldemort. Democrats want Thanos.
Yeah.
All right. So
was it the same artist for all three books?
Yeah, Trad Moore. Oh,
okay. It was? Because I know, I agree, Francis. It seemed like it evolved and it was different. This one was very more stylized violence. Like it didn't feel as gritty. I know it was bloody, but it was weirdly sanitized in a way too.
It could be also because Luther was a much more in tune with his abilities. Mm. So it wasn't as gross as like ripping someone's arm off and sticking it down their throat. Like that's he did true. The first book, like it was more precise kills.
I guess I was just picturing when Petra eviscerated that guy with the Gatling gun. I mean, that was kind of a beautiful shot, like with the guts and everything on the other side.
So gross. final thoughts there, Francis, on
the series as a whole,
the series as a whole. Yeah.
I will say this. It's just so terrible. But I mean, like, I'm glad we finished it. I think the first book is maybe worth a read, like, but you don't need to read the other two because you're not going to get any answers. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get any backstory. It's just going to become, you have more questions after. But again, we've said this all seasons now. He has made a living off of doing this. So props to him. And it's so very challenging as a writer. When you have the story in your head and you put it on paper, is can everybody follow that story? And as a writer, one of the things that I have to do when I have other people proofread, I specifically ask them, read this, what questions do you have? Because as a writer, you're supposed to answer everyone's questions. Maybe he purposefully left it blank, but I don't know what his intentions were and if they necessarily transpired. And another thing too, and I think we've seen this for all the books, the relationship the writer has with the artist is so critical. I wonder if they decided together as a team for the story arc to make them more and more larger and caricature and maybe to be enlightened. I just don't know that it worked. I think it became the characters are no longer the same. So, I feel like it had a lot of potential and it just didn't go through, and I would not recommend the series.
Yeah, I'm in a similar vein. I actually appreciate the first book a lot more now. I appreciate the characterizations. I feel a little betrayed because I felt like Petra and even Luther kind of got a short end of the stick in terms of characterizations throughout the book, and the third one especially. I felt Petra was just so far from the character that we had read before that I felt like it was like he had teamed up with Harley Quinn. That's how I had seen it. I liked the art consistently. I liked what they were trying to do. Actually, the third one, in some ways, I enjoyed more because I just gave up on trying to look at it as story and just looked at it as like action scenes and just combat fights. And I thought it was amazing. I wanted to know more about the gunslinger. Would I recommend the whole series if we can borrow it? Yes. Overall, though, and honestly, I don't know the circumstances surrounding the book. It could be that it was canceled ahead of its time. So he had to rush an ending, which to his credit, there is an ending to this story at least. Maybe he had hoped there would be more time to expand the universe, but they said, nope, you gotta wrap it up in two issues. So he's like, okay. So he wrapped it up. So maybe that's why it felt rushed and we didn't get the backstory we wanted. But once again, that's why you have to not wait until much later to reveal your mystery box. You know, you've got to at least give people something. I mean, that's what frustrated me with Lost. It's like, oh, guess what? They've been dead. I was like, what? Spoiler. But so you have to kind of give some payoff early on and not just try to save it for later for the big conclusion that may never come to be. Overall, a good borrow, not a buy for me.
And
You bought these, right?
Yeah, I bought these. And, when I bought the first book, I don't think the second and third volume were out yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of the same thing. I was like, oh, you know, it's intriguing. And it's just the more I read it, the less I was like, what is going on here? And then once we discussed it, it just, with a more critical eye, I really stopped caring about the story. I have friends that love this book, like BK from the Friendship Podcast,
mm-hmm.
if I can say the name of their show. He likes this book a lot. And I think some people, I think it's one of those you love it or you hate mm-hmm. it kind of things. And I kind of in tune with you, Francis, where it just missed the mark. I think if it had been fleshed out a little bit more, some more world building, finding mm-hmm. out like who these people were, why this happened, what their plans were throughout the centuries and what they were trying to accomplish, and a little bit more growth from maybe not so much Luther, but definitely from Petra, because she's our in, you know,
right.
Like, mm-hmm. we're seeing this almost like she should be us basically and being blown away by the shit you're seeing
mm-hmm.
and revulsed by having to kill. Like
right.
they're just killing to kill. They're not really killing. There's no reason. Like, what are these people doing other than you like hit the bee's nest? They were kind of just
right.
their own doing their own thing. And then you disturb the bee's nest and now you've got to deal with the issue. So I don't know. I'm using an analogy to explain the story.
Oh, it's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there was no, if Luther had just let things be, he killed the librarian and then disappeared. That would have been that. But anyways, I recommend borrow it. Don't get it from your library. Don't buy it.
But thanks again, Justin Jordan.
Yeah. I do have a lot of respect for Justin Jordan. During our first season, he went into detail and explained things.
He listened to the podcast.
Yeah. And even if he didn't, I still have a lot of respect for the guy. Like he is an artist. He's getting paid to do what he loves to yeah. do. And none of us get to pay
no.
what we like yeah. to do.
I don't have three published books.
No.
I hate to say this. Like, I've lost a little bit of respect for him after this book. Like,
yeah, literally, no respect,
I was just like,
gained respect and then lost respect.
Yeah, I was just like, God, like, really? Like, and I think just because the two main characters are just such a departure, and I couldn't. And I went in the same way that Dennis went into this. I just went in knowing this is a joke. Like, I'm not, and I think I enjoyed it more because of that. I wasn't trying to get this great big story. As soon as I saw the drawing of Petra, I was like, this is just ridiculous.
Oh, and in the third book.
Yeah. And that's when I just kind of lost some respect. I was like, okay, like you're not even like true to your characters anymore. Like I can't support you.
Well, and that I think, you know, one thing I forgot to say is if you read this by itself, just by itself, you wouldn't be missing anything. You wouldn't
that's a good point. Yeah.
You wouldn't like, oh, I wonder what Petra's inner motivation. None of that's connected. It's yeah. almost like a different character.
Yeah. You know what book three is? I know what book three is. Book three is a soap opera, like Days of Our Lives, when they get a new actress to play Hope or Billy, like and you're as the audience supposed to go with it. Like you know that is not the right actress. And you're like, what the hell? And they don't even try to hide it. And right. it's like, you just gave me some new actors and I don't like them.
Francis, who watches Days of Our Lives, where can people follow you?
They can follow me on Insta at Wards in Waffles.
You can follow the podcast on Insta and Twitter at Gina Explorers Club.
And if you guys want to follow me, Serious Talk to. Actually, I'm canceling them. I'm going to delete my Twitter.
Why?
Twitter account.
Why?
Because Twitter is a fucking garbage dump.
It is.
Yeah. So that's why I'm deleting Twitter mine. Years ago.
But you should just use it as a platform for communicating and announcing.
I get on there every time I put episodes up or anything. I'm just like, fuck. Fuck humanity.
Just don't
I'm
going to
go Luther Strode on everybody. But thank you, Justin Jordan, for doing what you do. Maybe some of us don't appreciate what you do as much as other people, but I respect the fact that you are a paid artist. It's an
Absolutely.
Amazing feat. And for trying, at least for fucking trying, because most people don't. They just sit and complain about things. And I'm sorry.
Why are you looking at me when you're saying that?
No, but you know, people don't put themselves out there.
Right.
You got to have, that's a little bit of bravery to do that. A lot of bravery.
And you know what? Someone said this is a great idea, and a lot of people are fans of this.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
just not anybody in this room.
No,
no. Thank you for listening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.
Bye. Oh my God, you got electricity here?
Is that? Did I see a toilet? It's just for looks. Don't poop in it.
Oh, it's just like those RVs.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Oh. Oh.